OCR, let's suppose even if the OCR, the old base OCR, I'm talking about the decade old OCR systems, where it was not calculating it right, or if it is not recognizing it right, and if it was getting passed through, it was just getting passed through. Now with ML and AI built into it, it has its own set of validations built so that it says, okay, no, the last time when such an order was placed, it had such and such capacities built into it. Now today, you're putting something which is way over any tolerance. Give an alert to the user. The user can look at it. If somebody reads to some order and if they say it's not the right one, it can be routed back to OCR to retrain it manually.
Welcome to the Conversations on Applied AI podcast, where Justin Grammans and the team at Emerging Technologies North talk with experts in the fields of artificial intelligence and deep learning. In each episode, we cut through the hype and dive into how these technologies are being applied to real-world problems today. We hope that you find this episode educational and applicable to your industry and connect with us to learn more about our organization at appliedai.mn. Enjoy.
Welcome, everyone, to the Conversations on Applied AI podcast. Today, we're talking with Avinash Maldi. Avinash is a PSPO certified professional with over 15 years of experience in implementing finance, artificial intelligence, and related IT projects. He holds an MBA in accounting from Wilmington University and has completed his expertise in finance with fintech courses from Harvard University. Throughout his career, he has been able to network with other fintech specialists from over 30 countries and stay informed about the latest developments in AI and fintech. Currently, he is working at SAP as a consultant on the OpenText Vendor Invoice Management Implementation Team. OCR solutions include machine learning capabilities to extract value using OCR, which, if you didn't know, stands for Optical Character Recognition, which has its roots in computer vision, which is a branch of AI. So thank you, Avinash, for being on the program today.
And thanks, Justin, for having me. It's good.
Good. Well, good. The point of the conversations here is to get probably a little bit more detail with regards to maybe some of the more interesting things you've been doing in your career. And I gave a sort of brief background with regards to experience in finance and artificial intelligence, but maybe you could talk a little bit more about, you know, kind of what got you into this career and what you've been doing.
Yeah, sure. Accounting as such, people take it as very a boring subject, to be honest, because it's lots of numbers, it's lots of rules and regulations around it. And also as such, it is very rule-based and very strict-oriented subject. So not many try to get in there, and those who get in there don't really think more about how technology could be embedded into it. With software such as SAP, Oracle, etc., those softwares have really built solutions which can automate most of the processes. But still, there are such processes which are mostly very manual, and people don't really love doing those activities. And with those activities, one of those is, so when there is a paper invoice that comes into the company, there is lots of information on it. And as a human, there is a good amount of chance that you can end up typing a 6 for a 9 or a 3 for a 6.
Sure.
We all use
sure.
the keyboard. We all have made those typo mistakes. But sometimes that one decimal can change how the invoice goes through.
Absolutely.
To be very honest, that's where my journey started. Is it would sound very cliche, but I entered an invoice as an AP member with an extra zero. And I thought I hit enter. No, I hit a zero. So I was like, I just hit enter and it went away. And it went all the way to my manager to approve it. He calls me upon and he's like, did you see the invoice? And still, it's just a zero. So it didn't really catch my eye then. That's where it started. I was like, okay, fine. Now he rejects the invoice. It comes back. Now I have to manually enter it all over again. What happens? I spend around 3 hours, man hours, to get everything again sorted out. Why, where, and everything, because it has gone all the way up the ladder. So that's where my thought process started, and I looked for opportunities where I could collaborate and like give my input as an accounting graduate, and I can take it forward. And that's where the journey started. As it went through, I started working with companies who were already in their baby steps of doing such technology-based solutions in accounting and finance. Started off with accounting, where invoice processing was the major focus, where the OCR reads through the invoice, grabs the value, and passes it on to the next step where it can be processed. Now, so that was baby step one. Now, as the time went through, we all want some more of the technology. Now we know that it can grab the values. What next? So every time it comes in, it can mistake a zero for an eight, or if it doesn't read it right, we all know it's technology. It has stuff built into it, which if not trained right, doesn't work right. Now the training piece comes into picture. Now, what else can we do to improve it? That's where the machine learning aspects come into picture, where you can reinforce training into it, and then it tries to read through it. So now that's good for English invoices based in English language, because that's where we are operating. I mean, that's where at least I have been operating. Then comes the other languages into picture. So the scope is unlimited. Now you read through English invoices. Now you have trained it to a certain invoices. But what if somebody changes the invoice?
Sure, sure.
It's not just one vendor you're processing. You are processing with thousands and thousands of vendors as a company. So that's how the process started. Me being a subject matter expert on how to process those invoices was a big contribution to the development team. And then I started learning development. So the journey keeps going on every day and every minute, from invoices to sales orders to purchase orders to what not document that we can train, that we can develop, because everything is more or less based on template-based learning. And how do you train that particular application to read through it? So that's how I've been contributing to this fascinating world of OCR and stuff. So
yeah. No, that's amazing. It's interesting that you kind of have a finance background and then you sort of picked up the programming along the way.
Yeah. So a little bit, not much, but I have picked it up with the subject knowledge on my hand, which I can talk to business about it, to the people who are really processing. Now, I also have to talk to the second side of the coin, which is the development team. So have to have both sets of knowledge on hand. So start learning a new thing. And that's how I picked up a little bit on the programming. And now I'm able to probably guide through and sometimes get my hands dirty on the programming as well.
That's cool. Yeah, I worked on an OCR project back in 2015, I think is probably when it was. We were using some open source software called Tesseract. I don't know if that's still used much in the field, but we were using that. We were also using basically Google Vision, right?
Yeah.
So you can just send stuff to Google and it will go ahead and transcribe it. And I mean, geez, I'm thinking about that. It was probably 8 years ago now. I'm sure the software's gotten a lot better.
Oh yeah, the softwares have got a lot better now. It really makes it very much interesting for people like me who are spending their all day long on it. And when you see new features and new stuff that comes out of it on how you can train, I mean, I would mostly speak from a finance perspective. Like there are things that, for example, when a Chinese invoice comes into picture, it's hard for me to read because I don't know Chinese, but then the program has been developed in such a way that it can really identify everything from it. So sitting in any part of the world, any nook and corner of the world, as a company, I can set up a shared workstation where it can be processed. So that is kind of very interesting aspect there. As you said, it has been evolving like in anything else in using artificial intelligence, as a matter of fact.
You know, one of the things that I recall as we were working on our invoices were, you know, it's not only the number you're talking about, you could have a wrong zero, but also just all of the information, like what was purchased. So this particular application was dealing with food. It was basically invoices that were being sent to restaurants. And what they were doing was they were capturing a lot of information around the pricing of like produce, of any types of stuff. So one restaurant in New York is paying so much for eggs and a restaurant in LA is paying for so much for eggs, but you needed to make sure you had the item that was written correctly. And it wasn't only the amount, but it also was obviously the item. But then what was really fascinating, I'm sure you can elaborate a little more on this, was not all the templates were the same. So one food distributor had one template and another one a different one. And of course, it's at a different location that you need to sort of parse out. Have you guys had to deal with that, I'm sure?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, that is always there. I mean, it's just not with the numbers, as you are saying, the text. It matters a lot because text is what gives the template actually a path forward, because each template and each the words that they use, not every, as you are saying, not every vendor, not every product. Let's take an example of an Apple. An Apple doesn't come with just the word Apple. They could say the brand of the Apple, and then they could say the green apple or something else that comes along with it. So now what if I have an apple juice and a green apple, both on the same invoice? And the template has to identify one as a beverage and another one as a fruit or food item. So that differentiation, everything is being actually fed into the system. It keeps learning, and there's a reinforcement learning that we build into the system. And also just not the system learning, but the users contributing to the learning. Within SAP, when we, for example, I'll speak a little bit about SAP here and the OpenText product that we have in there, is there is a solution that we use just not for the invoices, but to process sales orders and to read through the purchase orders. When the customer's purchase order comes into picture, the customer could call my product something at their end. But at my end, the product is different because I am manufacturing the product. So now the customer says, I need a box of so and so. But to now we have built mappings into those OCR solutions in such a way that if the customer is sending certain product, we although want the product to be identified by the OCR in the same way, but the way we map it, because the solution we designed has like an input and also an output screen right there on the screen, so that the vendor's product, everything is listed there. Good. The customer shows us what they need. But at the same time, we want our salesperson also to be able to say, okay, now if they're ordering they need a carton of certain item, we want to make sure we are able to give them the feasible availability date, a delivery date, everything at that point in time, straightforward. Because these days, even people keying in, as I'm saying, there's no keying in anymore with this OCR technologies getting so rapidly out. The customer is right there sending their purchase order in and immediately calling, when is my availability?
Yeah, sure.
I cannot have my salespeople start typing in and searching. We need certain mappings in there. So it should go in, identify the product, give what is availability, check everything possible in the background systems, which are the root systems, and give back an output. All this, probably less than a minute.
Yeah, sure.
So that's how good the OCR systems are right now.
Yeah. And with so much, well, I guess a couple of thinking in my head is like, there's still a lot of paper-based systems, I guess. Why, we just haven't gotten to a point where we've digitized everything, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yes, we have not digitized. There are companies who still want to use the paper-based, especially in the US. The European market is a bit different when we come to this aspect. I have implemented such solutions in probably more than 20 countries now, and I've seen it's in the US that we use a little bit more paper-based process yet still compared to Europe or in other parts of the world. Digitalization is picking up everywhere, and it's more than, I would say, yes, people are concerned about nature, but that is actually the secondary aspect. According to me, the more the primary aspect is being the speed of how it can go and how it can get to the solution that they want, or get the process up and running as soon as possible. Because we still use checks here in the US. I'm in US and Canada, we still do that. Europe, I have seen very less amount of checks being used. Most of it is electronic over there. So each of it has its own advantage. Companies still prefer checks for their own financial planning.
Yeah.
Whereas electronics have their own advantages. So yeah, paper-based and electronic-based are really two different aspects that we can delve into, yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting aspect, right? So it's not just invoices. You touched on checks, right? So anytime I write a check, and I use this all the time, I take a picture of the check and I deposit it into my bank account. That uses OCR. What about something as simple as mailing a letter, right? It needs to figure out, you know, there's not humans sitting there trying to read all this stuff, right?
Yeah, no one. Yep, for sure. And when you receive something in paper, technically, who has that patience in this time and world to sit and read through the whole document? I mean, I personally don't. If somebody sends me a piece of paper, I would rather probably be like, okay, what is this? And I'm done. I don't know. I think most of them are like me. They want automated stuff.
Yeah, sure.
And as you're saying, the checks. The life has got so easy since you can just deposit a check right sitting where you are. That is something that is truly a thing that we have developed over the past few years here in the US. And I think I have not seen this in most any other country where they can do this. Because each aspect is different. So, I mean, it comes to the same thing. If you're not using it, you don't invest your time developing a solution around it.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And most other countries are not using paper-based checks. They're already automated.
It's almost not, but I think that is a generational thing. The elderly generation still prefers checks all over the world, is what I have seen. They don't completely rely on the electronic stuff. They are for multiple reasons.
Sure. Yeah, interesting. And so do you see OCR at some point just completely going away once everything is digital and we don't really like have this anymore? Or do you see this going for...
I don't see this going away, to be honest, because I have seen this solution where I help them to develop it for converting it into Braille. So where there was this document that had to be converted to Braille, how would you do it? I mean, somebody had to read. So the easiest way was put that in the OCR, connect it to a Braille. I mean, I'm just saying the very superficial layer of it.
Yeah, sure.
Put it in there. It's going to read through it. OCR is going to recognize it. And there will be a validation that you can do on it. And then it gets generated in Braille. When I was trying to help them develop the solution, I was actually very happy and proud of myself that it is something and a product that we are developing that helps people who cannot really look into it. Like they were unable to read this, but now they have that ability to do it. I don't see how else can that be done. Somebody has to read through the whole document for somebody to do it, and if it... Just imagine somebody had to read through the Odyssey and create it into Braille. I mean, there are options, but yeah. But I think this is the easiest. And this way, I think the OCR isn't at least going away for next decade.
Yeah, and I was just sort of thinking, I mean, there's everything with regards to when you buy a home, for example, right? There's a mortgage. There's just like hundreds and hundreds of pages that are still... No one's been able to get that into a digital form in a lot of ways.
At least right now, it's not digitalized. So no government in the world is that heavily digitalized where they can go and do everything in a digital format. Still, it is paper format, which I personally have digitalized them. So I think the basic step, the baby step was to scan them. I think now all of us have a scanned copy of each and every document that we have. The OCR is the extension of it. Where I can, if I were to search for some legal term that I wanted because my insurance claim didn't go through, I'm not going to sit and read all the 150 pages document that insurance sent me.
Right, yeah.
I'm going to try to search, where is that clause? Where is it? And if it's just a scan document, how am I going to search for it? Until and unless it has been OCR'd.
Yeah, and they're building it right into the camera app. You know, like on my Google phone, I take a picture of something and it's amazing. It's like transcribe or you know, basically OCR. I'm like, yes. And then it finds every word. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, same thing. Was it introduced last year on Apple? I don't really remember the timeline, but that was really fascinating that now you could take a picture, hard press it, now it reads. Captures everything. Now you can copy paste it into anything.
Right.
And that makes life really easy for most of them. At least for me, it does. Because now I can just document, I'm scanning it, copying the text, sending it over, saying, dude, this is where it is in the document. This is what it says. I don't have to type it for 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
The life gets easier. That's what I say from all the aspects.
Yeah. And so to bring it back to artificial intelligence, I guess, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about as you were talking is, you know, I think AI is really good at a number of different things. I mean, one is things that humans aren't good at, which is really meticulous, you know, precision on a lot of things over and over again. I can see how you can make a mistake by accidentally typing a zero by example, right? So perfect solution for an AI to sort of take this task on.
It is equivalent to a typo. And it doesn't have to be one single thing. I mean, I come from a hardcore business perspective. So I'll say, for example, I'm creating a product where I'm writing a weight limit on it. What if I put an extra zero in there? The whole configuration of the product changes.
Yeah, right.
And if I don't realize it then, and if I just push it for manufacturing, what is the effect of it? What is the ripple effect of it? So as a matter of fact, as you said, AI. Now the AI component in it is like I can put in the value. Even if the OCR, let's suppose even if the OCR, the old base OCR, I'm talking about the decade old OCR systems, where it was not calculating it right, or if it is not recognizing it right, and if it was getting passed through, it was just getting passed through. Now with ML and AI built into it, it has its own set of validations built so that it says, okay, no, the last time when such an order was placed, it had such and such capacities built into it. Now, today, you're putting something which is way over any tolerance. Give an alert to the user. The alert,
sure.
The user can look at it. So, and if somebody reads to some order and if they say it's not the right one, it can be routed back to OCR to retrain it manually.
That's what I was going to ask you. So you guys, I mean, this is what we were doing back in 2015, Avinash. We were actually having human in the loop. We were basically using Mechanical Turk, and we would basically have Google Vision give us an output, but then we were checking it as well and sort of trying to improve upon it. Are you guys, is that still a concept that you guys are using to sort of improve these?
I would say it is still in use for sure, but not to the extent that it was in the past.
Okay.
Now there are, so the levels are like, first the machine does it, then the AI checks it, and then it is like, we have trained the template base so much and so much that only the outliers, which I would say about 2-3%, it cannot be 100% automated. If I say if it's 100% automation, just it's not possible.
Possible.
Yeah,
it's
so possible. When the outliers come in, and that's when the human aspect comes into picture so that the human can train it at that point in time. For most of the solutions that I have worked with, for the companies that I have worked for, it has gradually increased from about when I initially was full-fledged into it, I saw about only 70% going through. But now I can proudly say that systems have developed so much and I have been able to contribute so much to them that I hardly see 5-6% of the output being flawed, which certainly is not just because of one aspect. There are multiple aspects and the reasons behind it, I would say. It includes right from the quality of the paper, the quality of the print to the learning aspect. So it's a combination of multiple things.
Yeah. That is one of the things that we saw a lot of is you know, people not writing, well, either poor penmanship, right? Or you're right. It's a physical piece of paper, so it gets wet, you know. Or you can shine. It can shine through on the backside. If it's not thick enough, you can start seeing content or you know images from the backside of the paper when it was scanned.
So now with OCR being improved in the way that it is being built, now even being able to identify that difference. So we call it a confidence factor. I think everybody calls it a confidence factor that is built into it to see if it is an image or is it something else with the quality of the paper or what is the issue. So that is how I am seeing how it's getting evolved. The more the confidence factor, the more the training, the more, how should I say, the more you process, the more the volume of data, the data sets, as the data sets increase, even those things that we think are obvious are going away. I mean, as a human, we may not be able to read it, but the machine is able to do it. That's sometimes actually more funnier than it is. I have customers who ask, it looks like this to me. How did the mission say it? So? I'm like, we are different. It's a digital aspect versus, I mean, you have to explain it to the business on how it works, because everyone these days want to know how things are working. And it is good educative forum also.
It is an interesting concept. So this whole ability of explainable AI, right? How can you actually explain what's happening to people that are inside the business? Because it can't just be a black box. You can't just put something in and then take verbatim whatever it said, whatever comes out. It says, well, that's going to be what it is. Do you find yourself having to kind of talk a little bit about some of the reasons as to why it might be wrong? Or
Yeah, sure. I mean, you have to. Previously, there was a clear distinction between a business user and a technology user and a person who's tech savvy and who's not at all tech savvy and stuff. But now everybody is tech savvy. I have hardly seen users who are not tech savvy and who are not asking for an explanation. You have to. I mean, I have helped Southwest Airlines in the past. The users over there are so tech savvy, they have asked me a good enough number of questions that actually gave me also a food for thought. And those are the challenges that keep you actually driving your solutions, as a matter of fact. Now I work for Calumet Specialty Products. It's an oil and gas product. So in airlines, and so we may think that, oh, everywhere it's the same thing. No. The accounting is not the same everywhere, nor is the finance, nor is the production, nor nothing is same when it comes to the documents. It's totally different. And each client requires a different kind of solution that they want to build based on their business processes. And that kind of keeps us on the edge to evolve even more with technology and provide them with a solution that is interesting, both for the client and for us. And I'm the kind of guy who would stretch it out even more. And it's fun. It's just technology. So,
yeah. Well, I was going to ask, one of the things I do ask is like most people in the program, what is a typical day in the life of your job?
A typical day is mostly working with the users to identify such aspects in there where they say, now I have this invoice from certain country, which I've never received before. Or I have received this document, which the OCR is failing. So now we have a solution built in there, and now they want us to include this. Now a typical day would go in identifying if it worked, why did it work kind of things at times, because now you have not taught such a template before. Is the system evolving? Is the system reading it through? Is the system self-training it to a new template? And obviously, if it fails, we know kind of reasons why it fails. So some of the days, it's more for me that if it's a completely new document and if the system is able to successfully read through it and produce at least 80-85% of the result, I would like to go in the weeds of it and see how the system has learned it. How did the code evolve to self-learn it? That is more fun to understand these days than to identify what failed, because kind of failures are expected. The success is something that, oh, wow. So it's an auto-generated code now. Okay, it is self-learning. That kind of, I'm mostly spending my time to research and analyze and understand these days.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, good. Some of the stuff I played around with OCR and actually more just character recognition is from like the MNIST database, mm-hmm. right? Of like 50,000 handwritten things. Which surprisingly is pretty good. I mean, even if you only trained a portion of that, you can train a model pretty quickly. But is most of the stuff you're dealing with like all labeled data, do you think? Or is there a lot of unlabeled unstructured data?
There's lots of unstructured data, to be honest, because things don't come in as they are supposed to.
Right,
and
sure.
We think the data set is going to be perfect. No, the data set is, I mean, it's far from being perfect, to be very honest. It's far from being perfect, and lots of data is mostly unstructured these days. I mean, the data sets at least I'm working on.
Yeah. And so is the ultimate business goal, I guess, is to probably, you know, kind of eliminate humans from doing work that they're not good at and then put them on other tasks and maybe improve efficiency, I guess. Is that sort of the general thing most of these businesses are looking for?
Yes, that's for sure. Efficiency is the one I wouldn't, that is the word that everybody looks for, because obviously if there is a process that is being either slowed down by human interference or a boring task, I would call it. If it's a boring task, if it's a very manual step oriented task, that is where everybody is looking to include all such activities. Everything that I'm seeing these days, AI oriented, somehow or somewhere AI is being used, and OCR is no far from it. It is exactly what it is today. I call it AI powered OCR. So AI powered OCR, I think somebody said you're coining a term there. I'm like, I don't know. I just call it AI powered OCR. Maybe others are also using it, but I've seen it. It is powering it. My concept is it is a different power that is being provided to it, with because of which I myself have seen a good career opportunities, as a matter of fact. And I have been talking to students at a few universities where I talk to them saying that you're in an accounting field and you don't, and a typical career for you is either going into accounting or a CPA side. And guys on the technology side, you don't really think about this aspect because this is different. I mean, you're just looking at it from a technology perspective. Now, when I do a seminar or webinar with such students, I try to bring them together and see, what if you could do this? Although this is not part of STEM, think about it. It's a good discussion. And with when you do it with the group of the grad students and stuff, the ideas they come up with, man, that's really interesting. I have had some good, nice brainstorming sessions with those students and at few universities. And yeah.
As we were talking about before, you know, we started recording, one of the things that I do like to ask is people like, hey, I'm a brand new graduate student coming out of school. Where do you think I should go? Like, obviously people are learning some of the stuff in school, but I mean, a lot of it is probably just more self-taught, right? You're just going out to conferences or books or anything like that. I mean, is there any places you might advise people to look for a lot of this information?
A straightforward answer that I may have for this, because this is an evolving technology today. So there's no one stop shop for everything. Take me, for example. When I started, I just did my MBA in accounting. And once I did that, I still was so interested into accounting, but at the same time, technology was at its rise. So I combined it and then I read through SAP books. I did my SAP certification. And then I did the OpenText Vendor Invoice Management certification, where I learned more about how OCR is being used, how it can be used for invoices. And slowly then I was actually working on a different project to learn more about it. And in the same time, OpenText also, probably that was the time in the world when people were elaborating more on the technology, where OpenText also came up with a solution which was more for other business processes and not just for invoices. So the timing matched for me. So I started doing that as well. It kind of helped me. So that's what I would say the recent grads, that there's lots of niche technology or niche subjects out there which they can really explore.
For sure, yeah. For sure. Are there any interesting applications that you've seen recently? Maybe not even on OCR, just in general, I guess you maybe have read about in the news. You were like, oh, that's an interesting application of artificial intelligence.
Just from last 2 days, Sundar Pichai's announcements with the healthcare, with everything. Those are really, I mean, hopefully they're going to revolutionize the way that we are going to live forward with our lives. But those things are really too much to even thought of. I remember, I don't know if anyone remembers, but there was a cartoon way back called Jetsons.
Oh, yeah. The Jetsons.
Yeah, the Jetsons. I always think of, I mean, whenever there's an advancement, I just go back and I think, man, we saw that when I was a kid and we never thought this could be a reality. And now it's truly a reality. I mean, you press a button, everything's delivered to you. They had tubes. Probably 10 years back, I saw on this on a home improvement video. It was fun. He actually designed his house conceptually, taking inspiration from the Jetsons. I'm like, today you don't have to design a house. It's already made. So, yeah. And last not the least, my friend ChatGPT.
Yeah, we haven't touched on that. That's been the biggest game changer, I think, here in the past 6 months. Do you?
Oh, yeah.
How do you see that? Again, I think there's lots of aspects where you could even throw an image at it and say, explain to me what you see in this image, right? And so I was thinking about that.
Yeah, that has truly changed, at least many, I would say at educational level it has. But I mean, not just ChatGPT, as a matter of fact, the Bing and Bard and whatnot, everything. I mean, everybody is coming up with a new thing. These three are just the popular ones, if I have to call it. And ChatGPT just stirred up the pot too much. And people had to come with their own stuff. Because just touching on that aspect, one of the other companies that I helped also, so now they are using those APIs to get those chatbots in there. So touch a company which never heard of anything AI, now has an AI running chatbot in there. And that is fascinating. That is how much I think ChatGPT has impacted, to be very honest. I don't think anything else in the recent times, I was reading this, said, if you thought technology evolution was something that was going to impact your life, just wait until AI gets to its whole bloom, which is obviously not in the near future. Maybe, I don't know, but those are the things, yeah.
It's certainly getting better and better, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, I hope it's getting better and better, not for the doomsday sometimes.
Yeah, are you concerned, worried at all about what's coming down the line with AI?
Times I am, actually, because everything, as we all know, anything in excess is bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But who will determine that excess? Something that is excess for me isn't for you, but at times it is really, it is dangerous to a certain extent is what I think. I mean, I did a column for a newspaper in India where I was actually mentioning about that. I was like, it's a good to have it embedded into every nook and corner of the world. It can improve the way of life and everything, but without a certain regulation or without a certain... Because I come from a finance and accounting background, for me, regulations are something that I deal with day in and day out. Because if I'm developing a solution, if I don't develop an OCR solution with a PCI compliance, for example, for banking information...
Compliances.
Yeah, compliance. My solution is not going to fly through with the business. In the same way, I was just looking at this, I'm like... Except for the European Act that was passed a week ago or 2 weeks ago, there's no strict AI laws anywhere. There needs to be something. I mean, people who are saying there needs to be regulations, I believe they know something more than we do. Probably there's some other products out there. I don't know. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist here, but...
Sure.
But yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah,
for sure. Where do you see this being in 5, 10, 15 years or so? It seems like there's still always going to be some sort of need, I think, to translate something from the physical world that's written down somewhere into a digital form.
I at least see this going at least for 2 more generations, if I have to call it. Because a small example, you have an old photograph of something really from your grandparents' time. And you want it in there. You have some documents that you unearth after 20 years down the line. So I think this is going to stay. This is not going away for sure. The usage may go down gradually with more digitalization coming up. So I think from books, we have all graduated to Amazon Kindles. That is one like a regular use example, but there is always this. As an accountant, I always try to write things up.
Yeah.
I like to write it down and then think about it. Now, what will I do? Once I have written it down, how would I get it into the system? These days, just take a picture, copy and use it. What Apple has, what Google phones have. So,
yeah.
I don't think it's going away. Probably it will improve more, where if I write a number, it will compute it automatically for me and give me the result. So...
there will be a lot more intelligence sort of built around it. That's interesting. Yeah. Once ChatGPT reads all the books and stuff. I mean, my wife works for a company that publishes legal books, right? So that's what they do. And there is a huge plant out by her building. And, you know, everything's online, but there are still many, many firms that just want to buy the physical books. It's a huge wall of books. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it is also that it's also a personal preference, if I may call it. Because I personally love to read a hardbound book than reading it from Amazon Kindle. So if I'm going to research, I rather have an ear fold at the end of the page so that I can refer it back when I'm doing a certain other page.
Sure.
Which I think I can still do it on e-copy, but it's personal satisfaction, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Well, how can people find you?
So I'm available. I'm active on LinkedIn, very active on LinkedIn, as a matter of fact. So I can be reached via LinkedIn, and that's the easiest way, as a matter of fact.
Well, every episode has like liner notes. So it has a transcript of all this stuff, but then we have notes with regards to everything we've sort of talked about here. We'll make sure to put all your contact information from LinkedIn on there, Evanesh. And I just thank you for, you know, sharing your experience. That's what this show is all about, is just getting people that are doing very interesting stuff in all aspects of artificial intelligence. I mean, OCR, I don't think I'm ever going to run out of topics, you know, when it regards to applications of AI on this podcast. Everyone always has a new thing. And OCR is like I say, it's kind of old, but it's also new. I mean, it's just, there's no way our society and our commerce and our financial systems, our post offices, none of that stuff can function without actually being able to do it, because it's just too much information for a human to do. So I appreciate you sharing your, you know, the impact that you're having and the cool work that you're working on.
Thank you. Thank you, Justin. Thanks for having me here. It was nice chatting with you. Yep.
All right. Well, we'll have you back on in the future and we'll talk more. We'll see where things are at. So thanks again.
Thank you.
You've listened to another episode of the Conversations on Applied AI podcast. We hope you are eager to learn more about applying artificial intelligence and deep learning within your organization. You can visit us at appliedai.mn to keep up to date on our events and connect with our amazing community. Please don't hesitate to reach out to Justin at appliedai.mn if you are interested in participating in a future episode. Thank you for listening.